Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal. Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline, we're working our way through Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book. If you've got your hymnal open, we're on page 156 and 157. We're looking at the readings in the Divine Service. This is episode 20, and we've already talked in an earlier episode about the whole one-year, three-year lectionary debate, and so we're not going to beat that any more than we already have. But in Pastor Fromm's Bible study on the Divine Service, he says this about the readings in general. Whereas the synagogue service would have started with the most important or foundational reading first, in the Christian order, the Holy Gospel comes as the fulfillment and center, so therefore last. The synagogue service was looking forward with a continuity of teaching, and the New Testament order reflects a fulfillment in Christ, who is among us in the divine service and who will appear again in glory on the last day. In our lectionaries, there is often a strong prophecy/fulfillment correspondence between the Old Testament reading and the Holy Gospel text, with the epistle serving as either a commentary or as a churchly application. I think that's a pretty fair summary, don't you, Pastor?
Yeah, I think so. I think it, you know, when you're thinking off the top of your head, it's harder to put things concisely, and I think that does a good job of saying what we were saying earlier.
Yes. Specifically, now we want to talk about the Old Testament reading, and you know, I'm surprised at the variety. The Old Testament is such a large corpus of Scripture, 39 books. Some of the books are extremely long. And I'm often surprised at how well the lectionary series does, both the one-year and the three-year, of giving us that whole counsel of God and giving us a good picture of the different parts of the Old Testament, pointing us to Christ. Pastor Fromm says this about the Old Testament reading. The Old Testament reading comes first, as it is the oldest and gives the first word of God, out of which the others come in fulfillment and application of God's law and gospel. Sometimes, instead of an Old Testament reading, a reading from the book of Acts is provided, for instance, during the Easter season. The use of an Old Testament reading, while not always done in the history of the church, provides a connection to the fact that there is one God, who is the triune God, and he is the God of both the Old and the New Testaments. To say Jesus is Lord is not only to identify him as God, but it is also to identify him as Yahweh, the great I Am, the true God of the Old Testament as well. This use of the Old Testament also declares that God is the God of both law and gospel, which are both taught in both Testaments, and that there is unity of the entire Bible by virtue of the Holy Spirit serving as the ultimate author behind both the prophets and the apostles. Now, there's a lot here in that little paragraph by Pastor Fromm in the book. By including an Old Testament reading, Pastor Fromm is submitting that what we are saying is that there is only one God, and that is the triune God, and that is the God of both Old Testament and New Testament. Pastor?
I think that's important for us to remember, because there are those in the church today, and I'm talking the wider church, who want to say the new covenant erases the old covenant and that they are completely separate and unconnected. And I think Pastor Fromm's point is important. There is only one God, and therefore the God that's doing the work in the Old Testament is the same God that's doing the work in the New Testament. And that God, we know from both Testaments, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and holy, 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 and he is promising to save us through the person and work of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And so by having both of those together, we can see how these all run together, and there's really one promise that's throughout all the pages of Scripture that's important and how it finds its fulfillment in Christ.
He also takes the next step then to piggyback on what you just said. Not only by including the Old Testament reading do we make a statement that there is only one God, triune God, of both Old Testament and New Testament, but that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of Scripture. He is the great I Am. He is the Messiah. He is Yahweh. He is Lord. And he is the same one who took on flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us and went to the cross. That simply by including an Old Testament reading, we are making that statement in the unity of Christ as the main character in both Old Testament and New Testament.
Jesus says that himself very clearly. You search the Old Testament thinking that by it you have eternal life, and yet these are they that testify about me. And that's the truth, and that's the reality. There is one message of Scripture: God saves sinners through Jesus.
The third point that Pastor Fromm makes here is that by including an Old Testament reading, we have a statement that we believe that there is one author, God the Holy Spirit, of all 66 books of the Bible. And in that respect, we are not going to pit one part of Scripture against another part of Scripture or one author against another author, because there is one divine author. Your reaction to that, Pastor?
Well, that's also the same thing that Scripture teaches as well. We have several places where it says that men were carried along by the Holy Spirit to record the things that are in Scripture. We have the teaching that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking the man of God. We have these ideas contained within Scripture, and so when we make that good confession, that's beneficial to the congregation. I think that's, again, teaching us why having a united worship service is so important. Every single thing we do from beginning to end in church on a Sunday morning is to teach us about Christ and who God is and how he saved us in Christ. And so even little things like this, which we probably glance over and don't care about or think about too often, ultimately are put that way to teach us about Christ. And how amazing is it that the people of old who put these liturgies together were smart enough to know their Scripture well enough to do these things and to put together worship services in such a way? And I'll be real honest, you and I are not capable enough to do the same thing that they did. And so who are we to think we could do a better job in what we're doing? And I don't mean that to put us down. It's just these are the best and brightest thinkers of some of all time put together these worship services in such a way so that every single little thing teaches us about Jesus.
And the wisdom of the ages throughout all the centuries of the church coming together, and we're seeing that in the structure of how these things are laid out. It shocks and saddens me that in churches that sometimes want to be a little bit more hip or contemporary or whatever, that one of the things that they do is they reduce the length of the service by omitting the readings from God's Word. And almost the first reading to go is the Old Testament reading. Now, maybe the Psalm, the Introit certainly, or the Gradual, but the Old Testament is almost given a secondary status, that it really isn't as important as the New Testament, or certainly as the Gospels. And sometimes there is very, very little actual Scripture that is read in the service, and we are really, really shortchanging the people of God. God's Word says that his Word is the power of God unto salvation. His Word will not return void. His Word will not fade or perish like the grass of the field. And so to have the Word of God read, expounded prominently in our divine service is for the sake and for the life of the people.
So if you're taking one of the Scripture lessons out, what does that say about your confession of faith about who God is? I mean, that's really what it is ultimately, right? A confession of faith that God is not wise enough or powerful enough to make known the same message to all his people in the Old Testament times as well as he did in the New Testament times. That God had to change his message halfway through, or that he got much better at his proclaiming the reality of Jesus in the New Testament, so the Old Testament is void and empty. That's a bad confession of the reality and identity of God.
In the words of Pastor Kuhlman, who likes to say that we, humans, often think that we have better words than God. And I think this would just be one example or one manifestation of that kind of a feeling. Even though you might not say it that way, that's really what it's teaching.
Everything you do confesses whether you mean to say something or not. And that's where the troubles come about, is when we accidentally confess something we don't mean, and that then becomes the rule and the norm for the entire church.
Amen. Amen. In the time that we have left in this segment, I want to talk about the gradual. The gradual is that little snippet of Scripture, generally from the Psalms, that is between the Old Testament reading and the epistle reading. The gradual is sometimes skipped. There's certain parts of the church here when there is no gradual, like the season of Easter. But these are the words from Pastor Fromm. What in the world is a gradual? The gradual is somewhat of a remnant of an earlier practice that in most places has dissipated because of changes in church architecture. Like the introit, the gradual was originally a time of movement in the chancel. And then he quotes from Bernell Eckhart in his book, A Layman's Guide to the Liturgy, 2005, "The gradual, which consists in the chanting of a psalm or a part thereof, is so called because there was formerly a step called the gradine or gradus on which the reader stood to chant the psalm following the first reading or epistle. Traditionally, there have been four parts of the Mass sung by the choir: introit, gradual, offertory, and communion. Unlike these other three, the gradual did not arise from the desire or need to fill up time during which something else was being done in the Mass, but is probably as old as the readings themselves. The idea of interspersing a psalm or psalms with the readings appointed for the day is a practice carried over from the synagogue. The insertion of a psalm between the readings helps to provide a stream of faith's language or mindset or zone of thought springing primarily from the Psalter, in the midst of which the readings are heard." What do you think about that definition and explanation for the gradual, Pastor?
Well, I think that's important for us to hear and to understand. We don't just worship in a vacuum. As we say in the divine service, we worship with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We aren't really standing on our own feet on the ground to try and come up with what happens in the Christian church. We're standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. In fact, ultimately, you could say we're standing on the shoulders of the apostles who saw Christ and set forth the way the church operates. And so it's important to know why we do the things we do and where they came from so that we can continue to stand on those shoulders and to have the richness and the depth of what we're doing in church, because ultimately it all reflects our reverence towards who God is and how he operates. And that's a very important thing. We can't just take God for granted and think this is ours to do what we want or this is what I prefer, when God is very clear and has given us such a rich depth in what we do in the divine service. And all of that depth is designed to give us Jesus, which is truly amazing when you consider that.
Yes, and I'm often shocked at how well the gradual, just that little snippet from the Psalms, really summarizes everything that's going on in the worship service. We need to take a short break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the New Testament readings in the divine service, the epistle and the gospel. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.